Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to the next session of Microsoft Azure What's Brewing, the March 2017 editions. We have a few really interesting announcements which were done this month. So let's start with that. The first one we have is Azure Relay Hybrid Connections General Availability. So basically, Azure Relay was one of the first core Azure services. It helps you connectivity to on-premise assets, connectivity from on-premise assets to the cloud, and you know it gives you a lot of network management and stuff. So till now, those who have used the WCF relays, they would be familiar with it, but Azure Relay was dependent on WCF relays for its service. Going forward, we have announced the hybrid connection features for Azure Relay. So now if the dependency is not on Windows Communication Foundation, because not everybody uses Windows, right? So now we are basically using all these hybrid connection. They will be able to help you with secure connectivity between on-premise and cloud assets. You can, you know, have firewall friendliness because it utilizes different common outbound ports, but it also is based on the open standards based protocol. So it's based on WebSockets, you know, versus being based on WCF. Hybrid connections are again cross-platform. So you can use Windows, Linux, or any platform that supports WebSockets. You can use Azure Relay. And the connection supports .NET Core, JavaScript, Node.js, and multiple other RPC programming models to achieve this. So if you want to get started with Azure Relay Hybrid Connections, you can just go on the documentation on Microsoft Azure and search for Azure Relay. That was our first announcement this month. Let's move ahead. Having some technical issues, just stay here with me for a second. Okay, so I'm going to just start talking about the next one, which is geographic routing capability in Azure Traffic Manager. I hope you can see it now. So Azure Traffic Manager is basically a service which gives you external load balancing. So for example, if you want to load balance your traffic between different data centers, if you have global audience, you could do that with Azure Traffic Manager. It could also act as a failover mechanism between different data centers. But with this geographical routing capability, what we are giving you is now you can customize content based on regions. So there, for example, if you, depending on where your user is coming from, what a traffic manager could earlier do was it would basically point your user to the nearest data center. But now it can also show, you can also create different regions with localized content, and your traffic manager will point your users to their localized content. Or, you know, if you have any requirement, you have a specific policy mandate that require a data access restriction within a specific geography. So all these places you can easily use Azure Traffic Manager. So, that was the next announcement we had. Can you move to the next slide, please? I'm having issues with my machine, so just give me one second. One second, I'm going to come back. Okay, so the next one we have is Azure Data Factory, which now offers the SAP HANA and Business Warehouse data integration. So let's first start with what is Azure Data Factory. So Azure Data Factory is it's one of our cloud-based integration services which helps you create different data pipelines. So for example, if you have different databases from where you need to get data, or you are ingesting data from on-prem databases, or if you are ingesting data from Hadoop cluster, so you want to integrate all that data, you can use Azure Data Factory to create data pipelines, right? So with this new announcement, now Azure Data Factory enables you loading data from SAP HANA and SAP Business Warehouse directly into Azure Data Stores, so that you can do advanced analytics and reporting. So what you for those who have used SAP, you know that it's one of the most widely used enterprise software, and lot of people, I mean the most used stacks in SAP is SAP HANA and SAP BW. So with this we have a new SAP HANA connector. So it supports copying data from HANA information models such as the analytic or calculation views, as well as you can do the row and column tables using SQL queries. All you need to do is to establish connectivity, you need to install the data management gateway and the SAP HANA ODBC driver, and you can connect to the Azure Data Factory. The second connector is SAP BW connector, which supports copying, again, copying data from SAP Business Warehouse version 7.x, InfoCubes and QueryCubes. And you can use MDX queries to copy the data. Again, to establish connectivity, you need to install the data management gateway and the SAP NateWeaver library. So if you want to know how you want to do that, just go to our Azure documentation and find SAP HANA connector for Azure Data Factory, and you should be able to find it. So the next one we have is instant file recovery from Azure Linux VM backups using Azure Backup. So we had this instant file recovery option from Azure Linux from Azure Windows VM backups, which has been available for quite some time now. What it does is you can restore files instantly from your Azure Recovery Services vault without any additional cost or infrastructure. So you create an Azure Recovery Services vault, you enable your backup on your virtual machine, and now you can instantly recover the files. So for example, if you are backing up your entire VM, you do not have to mount your drive back to see the files. You can instantly recover files from Azure VM, and you can, so for example, if you have a say Azure Learning Linux VM which is running MongoDB, and you are doing data dumps in the at a particular data recovery point in Azure Backup. So if you quickly want to validate what happened say yesterday, or you want to validate a specific data dump, or you want to retrieve individual items, you don't have to download the entire data dump. You can just go and download the point in time recovery wherever you had stored it. And this option wasn't available for Linux VMs before, but if you go to the Azure portal, you can enable this now for Azure Linux VMs as well. Moving on, the next one is basically this month in California, San Jose, we had Strata conference, which is a data related conference, and we announced a lot of new capabilities for HD Insight and DocumentDB. So let's go through those announcements. So let's first start with DocumentDB. DocumentDB is basically a globally data distributed database service. It's our NoSQL database as a service. So if you have been using MongoDB or you know other NoSQL platforms, DocumentDB is very similar to it, except for the fact that it is a PaaS service. So it's a completely managed service. It allows you to elastically scale both throughput as well as your storage across any number of geographical regions. So this service was basically we had a lot of connectors to this service. So for example, the first announcement we have this month is now you have a Spark connector for DocumentDB. So now, say for example, you have a lot of data in your DocumentDB which you want to analyze using Apache Spark. You can directly connect your Apache Spark to DocumentDB using Spark Collector and analyze your data directly from there. We also have availability of MongoDB APIs, and we will look a little deeper into them in our next slide. Also, we announced the cloud-first Hortonworks Data Platform 2.6. What I mean by cloud-first is the newest Hortonworks Data Platform, which is 2.6, it's first released on cloud. So it's not even available yet on on-premise release. That's Hortonworks' commitment to being cloud-first. So basically, anytime you want to use one of the latest version of Hortonworks, you can directly use it on Azure Cloud. It's not that you have to wait for the on-premise release to come on it for cloud. We also announced a fully managed Apache Spark 2.1. So basically the Apache Spark is again, it's a stream analytics service. 2.1 is the latest release that we have. So that is again available right now with HD Insight cluster. And we have introduced capabilities. So for example, if you want to do Spark integration with Azure Event Hubs and you want to get that data flowing from Event Hub directly to Spark, you can do that. You also have a streaming connector from Kafka to HD Insight. So all that is, those are the new announcements. We also announced SQL Server Community Technology Preview 1.4, which will be available on both Windows and Linux very soon. You can try the preview of any of your choice of development and release environment. You can just search for, you know, what's new in SQL Server vNext, and you can go to release notes and Linux documentation to try using it. So that was with HD Insight and DocumentDB. The next one we have is DocumentDB API for MongoDB. So as I said, DocumentDB is our NoSQL service, which is very similar to MongoDB, right? So there are a lot of developers who use MongoDB, and they have their own SDKs and toolchains and libraries that they use to develop or connect to MongoDB, right? So now, with these general availability of DocumentDB APIs for MongoDB, you can use all that. So your code stays the same. You can use the same SDKs, toolchains, libraries that you would use to connect and work with MongoDB. You can use that for DocumentDB. So this feature has been available in preview for some time now, but it lacked some features such as you could do only one collection, or the global databases were not available. So now with general availability, we have introduced a number of major feature releases So now you can have sharded collections. You can have more than one collection shard for DocumentDB with MongoDB APIs. You can have global databases, so you can replicate your data across multiple regions so that you can have high availability. You can have read-only keys. So now these APIs support read-only keys where you will only allow the read operations on MongoDB. And it also, we have also added some additional portal metrics. So now when you go to the Azure portal for DocumentDB, you can see a lot of different metrics such as number of requests or request charges or error requests and all that. You can directly see all those statistics and metrics on Azure portal. So that was MongoDB APIs, sorry, DocumentDB APIs for MongoDB. The next one is Azure SQL Database Premium RS. So this is something that we are releasing in preview. Azure SQL Database is our SQL Server as a service. It's a PaaS offering. We have a lot of different tiers of services ranging from basic to standard to premium. And Premium RS is the latest edition. It is a 4 TB increase on the storage limit for premium P11 and P15, and it also comes with enhanced portal experience for selecting and managing service tiers and performance levels. So now you can use up to 4 TB of storage. So you can have a P11 or P15 premium databases, and you can add up to 4 TB of included storage at no additional charge. And we will have the, right now we do not have the worldwide availability. The 4 TB option can be selected for databases located in some regions. Some of them are East US 2, West US, Canada East, Southeast Asia, and West Europe. So moving on, that was with Azure SQL Database Premium RS. The next one we have is Azure Stream Analytics Tools for Visual Studio. So if you are not familiar with Azure Stream Analytics, it is again a platform as a service where you can manage or analyze data as it comes in. So it gives you a way to analyze your data in streams rather than analyzing it at rest. Now we have, this month we actually announced the public preview version of Stream Analytics tool for Visual Studio. So you know, if you I mean, obviously all the goodness of Visual Studio such as IntelliSense or syntax analyzing or error marker capabilities, it's all there. But these tools are designed to provide an experience where you can do Azure Stream Analytics development workflow inside Visual Studio. So this will help you if you want to author query, if you want to write query, if you want to quickly test, debug, and diagnose your Stream Analytics job, that all now available as a part of your Visual Studio tools. Moving on. Okay, so the next one is Azure brings big data analytics and visualization capabilities to US government. So if you know Azure US government cloud, is cloud for basically Azure government cloud is a part of cloud which we use it for government customers. So this month we announced the general availability of HD Insight and Power BI Pro for Microsoft Cloud for Government. So if you have any government customers where you want to use these kind of tools, you can always take you know, use of these capabilities. We are also going to announce a preview of cognitive services in Azure Government. So we have enabled scenarios such as, for example, if you want to do audio or text translation into other languages, or you want to do emotion recognition with computer vision, and if you're, you know, all these services, we are offering a preview on Azure Government soon. Okay, the next one is real-time geospatial analytics in Azure Stream Analytics. So we already talked about Azure Stream Analytics, right? It lets you analyze data in real-time in stream as it comes in. So this month we announced the general availability of geospatial functions. So what it gives you is, say for example, you have scenarios where you want to do fleet monitoring, or you want to track any ascent, or you want to do any kind of geofencing, or you want to do phone tracking across different cell sites, or you want to do a solution for something like Uber Pool, where you want to do ride sharing, where basically you want to get a location at a real time from any you know, any device that is sending data to the cloud. Now we have these geospatial analytics in Azure Stream analytic queries, where you can analyze this telemetry during and after the event. So for example, a scenario where you want to generate an event, or you want to send an alert where a gas station is less than 10 kilometers from the car. So you have your car's location, which is being set to cloud constantly, and your cloud has a list of stored location where it says that this is a gas station at this location. So basically you can write a query where you can select from your car's location, you can select like whichever is the gas station in less than 10 kilometer radius, send me an alert whenever there is a gas station. So these all kind of different queries now you can do with a geospatial function. It uses the GeoJSON standard for dealing this geospatial data. It does a lot of things. So you can do create point, you can create a polygon, you can determine the distance, you can see if one polygon overlaps with others, and a lot of other things that you can do. So for, again, for all this, go to our documentation for Azure Stream Analytics, geospatial functions. Okay, the next one we have is Azure Site Recovery Planner for VMware. So Azure Site Recovery is one of our services where it gives you a way to create a complete recovery, disaster recovery solution on Azure, where you can you know, protect hundreds of your virtual machines, say, which are on-prem or any other place. You could create a complete disaster recovery solution using ASR. But to do this ASR, you need a deployment planner. So basically, you need to be, before you do any ASR kind of exercise, for a successful ASR replication, you need to first understand what are your networking requirements, what are your compute and storage requirements, how you're going to do your test failure and all that, right? So the ASR deployment planner is a tool which actually does a lot of things. It gives you compatibility assessment. So which of your on-premises server can be moved to Azure with ASR and which can't be. It will give you a network bandwidth need. It will tell you the Microsoft Azure infrastructure requirements, like how many storage accounts you will need, whether you need standard accounts or premium storage accounts, whether, you know, how many virtual machine capacities you will need. So it will also factor in future growth. So how this deployment planner works is, it has three different modes of operation. One is profiling, where it profiles all the servers that you want to protect for, say, next 30 days. And it will record everything, like different performance monitors, counters, like, say, read-write IOPS, write IOPS, data churn, you know, how, what is the number of cores, number of, and sizes of disks, how many NICs you have. And you, right now, this planner is only available for VMware. So you can connect to VMware vCenter server or VMware vSphere server, where all these VMs are hosted. So that is the profiling mode. It can also do report generation. So in this mode, the tool will use the profile data and it will create a report. So it will have inputs, it will have recommendations, it will have a virtual machine to storage placement, it will have the number of compatible VMs, it will also tell you number of incompatible VMs. And in the last thing, it will also help you do the throughput calculation. So it will find the network throughput that can be achieved from your on-premise environment to Microsoft Azure for ASR replication. So right now, this tool, this planner, is available only for VMware, and it's also available in public preview. And with this, we are actually coming towards the last slide that I have. It's Azure Stack TP3, Technical Preview 3. It actually announced hybrid application innovation, and it introduces pay-as-you-go use pricing model. So what is Azure Stack Technical Preview 3, right? So Azure Stack is, you can call it as your Azure in a box. So for example, if you want to have your own private implementation of Azure in your own data center, you can get Azure Stack. A technical preview 3 is basically, right now we are releasing previews. The stack is not yet generally available. The TP3 is available for download. What it gives you with this announcement is basically it brings a cloud economic model on-premise. So basically you will pay as you use pricing that you have on cloud. You will now get that with Azure Stack TP3. In next roadmap, if you look at the roadmap, we'll have Azure Functions, which will soon be able to run on TP3. It will be followed by blockchain, Cloud Foundry, and Mesos templates. So as you can see, we are delivering in last few months, we have had three different technical previews with Azure Stack. So that will keep going on till general availability and beyond. So TP3 is the final planned major technical preview before it will be available as a general availability for order in mid CY17, somewhere in calendar year 17, we are going to have Azure Stack in general availability. Okay, so what are the different use cases? Say, for example, if you want to have a consistent hybrid application development, you can use Azure on-premise, or you want to do any purpose-built system for operational excellence, and you want some of the cloud benefits on your on-prem infra, you can use Azure Stack for that. With that, I think I had this was the last announcement I had. We did not have a lot of different new things, but we had some really interesting things this month. So with this, I'm going to open for question and answer. You can type your questions, and I will get to them one by one. So there is one question from Atul Kali. Any update on government community clouds, GCC, for Indian governments? So right now, we do not have any update for Indian governments, but let me go back to our roadmap. Just connect with me. I'm going to share my Twitter ID and my email to you all. And this question, please tweet it to me. I will check our roadmap, and if we have anything available in our roadmap, I'll share it with you. So let me realize my email ID. I'm just going to send it to you all. Okay. Okay, any other questions? I'm going to wait for a few minutes. If you have any questions, please post them.